The Obama administration could decide this week whether to approve weapons for rebels in Syria or U.S. air power to enforce a no-fly zone over the country. President Assad's regime has gained the upper hand in the 19-month-long battle, bolstered by Iran, Russia, and Hezbollah fighters from neighboring Lebanon. Backers of the rebels don't think that's a fair fight, and they say that while Assad claimed to be a reformer, he had a dismal record on human rights, his feared security agents detaining Syrians without warrants, torturing them with impunity. But Assad also has his backers, who say he kept the country stable. Today we want to hear from one. Nazi Hamza is Syrian. He's been in the U.S., though, since 1982 and owns the Gourmet Market in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Full disclosure, we've had some spirited conversations there. Nazi says the narrative that often plays out in the American press is wrong, that what we're seeing isn't an uprising, but a plan by Islamic extremists to take over Syria. So, Nazi, you're a Druze. There are also Christians in Syria, groups protected by President Assad, who's Alawite, an offshoot of the Shia faith. These are the minority groups in the country, and the Sunni majority felt that they were not being represented by President Assad and finally rose up in opposition. You don't accept
that?
That's
totally untrue. Totally untrue and unfounded.
What's your view?
The Sunni, most of the Sunni now, they support Assad. This whole thing about freedom or what have you, they found that it was a conspiracy. It is very convoluted. Okay.
Well, what do you think?
It would take a long time to explain.
We'll try. What do you think is going on? If not people rising up because they don't feel they've been served by the minority leadership. Tom Friedman wrote recently in the New York Times that President Assad had allowed his wealthy cronies to buy land and drain water resources, which drove poor farmers into the cities where he didn't provide them these so-called drought refugees. He didn't provide them with jobs or education. So young people, farmers starved for jobs, land starved for water. This was a prescription for a revolution.
Well, the land starved for water. There has been a drought for over 12 years now.
And do you think that had something to do with the original protest?
No. The original protest was, at the beginning, it was a legitimate demonstration. The situation today is not perfect. There's a lot of reforms that need to be done.
So what were some of the problems?
Well, there was martial law for many, many, many years. That needed to be lifted. They made a lot of mistakes, and they admit that. They made a lot of mistakes, especially after the first uprising. They could have dealt with it differently and came out with different results. But there was a lot of sleeping cells. They're waiting for any weak moments to come out. It's been going on for a long time.
So you're saying that the Assad regime could have responded better to the initial uprising, which was sort of on the tail end of the Arab Spring, and you say they could have responded better, they didn't. And as a result, you say they have opened up the way for these, what would you call them, sleeping cells, other
yes.
groups. Who do you think these other groups are?
We are all very familiar with them. Muslim extremists. And we're familiar with their tactics and their beliefs and how they like to impose their beliefs on everybody. Everybody that's not totally with their ideology is an infidel.
There is agreement that other elements have come in and taken advantage of the civil war for their own ends. There is an Islamist organization that wants Syria to be an Islamist state.
Absolutely.
This obviously would frighten you.
Absolutely, yeah. Government should be a government from the people, for the people. Okay, they are free to do their own business, but stay away from the government. We've learned some harsh lessons through our history that they both should be separate. And they want to rule by the laws of Islam. I mean, nothing against Islam or whatever, but we just don't want that. It's a disaster.
Well, if you agree that Assad did not handle the initial uprising well and maybe paved the way for other elements to come into this uprising, what do you think should happen now?
Well, support should stop for those militants from the directions of Turkey. At Turkey, they're having their own problems now.
I know, but Hezbollah is backing the Assad government. It seems like it's tit for tat.
You see, it's how we perceive things. Osama bin Laden was a freedom fighter when he was fighting the Russians, supported by the CIA and the U.S. government. And they knew about him.
He's a mujahideen.
And he was a mujahid. Yeah. He was a freedom fighter. They're done with the Russian issue. Now he's a terrorist.
Let me ask you this. So obviously you don't feel that the militants should be supported. Do you communicate with Syrians now? Are you in touch every day?
Every day I talk to them.
And these are obviously people who feel the way you do. Are they frightened?
No. Middle Eastern people, they're used to that stuff. This is a secondhand. This is natural. I mean, when I would sit on my balcony, and I'm not happy about it, but I would watch, you know, missiles being flying about 3 or 4 kilometers away.
But if Assad loses, do you lose everything back there as someone who supported him?
No, I wouldn't say that. But he's not going to lose. They just can't afford to have them lose. Not because I'm in love with this guy. Like I said, there's a lot of room for improvement. Democracy cannot be exported. It's a different culture, a different history, a different setup and mixture.
You think Americans who believe that this is an uprising for democracy and it will follow a sort of the American blueprint, the leader will be overthrown. You're shaking your head. No, the leader will be overthrown and everybody will have elections and it'll be democratic and happy ever after. You say that's what,
just
naive?
It just can't be done. It's very naive. Yeah. Okay. Syria is the cradle of civilization. Every human ideology or science or whatever came from there. Unfortunately, they're still in the cradle. See, before you do democracy, there's a lot of things that need to be washed out. Loyalty. People there are known for their loyalty. First, for their family, for their tribe, for their religious sect, and then for their country. See, over here in America, we're loyal for your country. You don't have these issues over there. You don't have about 100 religious sects and family and tribal and sheikh and
Well, let me ask you something. You're from Syria. Obviously, much of your heart is there. This is your country now, America.
Absolutely, yeah.
How will you feel if America feels it has to step in to offset Russia and Iran, which are on the side of the Assad regime?
That's not going to happen. America don't want any change. It's all politics right now. They want Assad to stay, and they want it to prosper. The U.S. always try to keep a balance in the region between the Sunni and the Shiite. It's a very complex issue. Why the Russians are doing what they're doing, why the Iranians are doing what they're doing, and why the Americans are doing and not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or what we think they're supposed to be doing. It's really complex.
Well, but watching it all from his balcony, your new perch here, Nazi Hanza, again from Syria, but he now owns the Gourmet Market here in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thanks so much for coming into the studios to talk to us.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, we'd always love to hear your thoughts, especially if you're also Syrian and living in the U.S., hereandnow.org. Let us hear from you. By the way, quick program note, tomorrow on Here and Now, Caroline Elkins, who was vilified by historians and the British government for her claim of human rights abuses by the British against Kenyans during the Mau Mau uprising. Well, she's just back from Nairobi, where she witnessed the British government making reparations to some of those same Kenyans. We'll ask how she feels about her role in rewriting history. Back in a minute, Here and Now.